Good afternoon. I'd like to call this Government Operations Committee meeting to order September the 12th, 2019. The time is approximately 2:30 PM. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker? Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congressman Tillman? Speaker Tillman? Congressman Potts? Congresswoman Goodfox? Congressman Big Horse?
Present. And Congressman Maker did leave a message that he would be here in just a few minutes, so he said continue on. So with that, Madam Clerk, would you like to render a prayer for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to have this beautiful day and to allow everyone to come and gather and make these hard decisions for the Osage Nation. Lord, I'd like you to bless each and every one of us that are here and on their way to work and from work. I would like you to bless all the families that are in turmoil and also all the families that are joyous at this time. Lord, please take care to guide these leaders in their wisdom and in their decisions and in their whole day and this whole session for all of us and for all of the Osage people. And Lord, please do bless everybody in this world as we are all children of you. And thank you so kindly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Madam. Okay, if you'll take a moment to look over your previous minutes.
These minutes don't look like anything else that I've looked at before.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
All I can offer up for these minutes is that I guess, moving forward with the next two sections that we have, I would like to at least stick with the language that we stuck with yesterday. But I'm confused on this first, second page.
got to section 16. Congressman DeVore said without objection he was going to hold that.
And then we reviewed this.
And then you reviewed these, and nothing was determined until he said section 39.
Okay.
And then when you got down here, an amendment was made.
Okay. And then we reviewed and approved. Okay. I'm following it. Thank you. Motion to approve the minutes for September 11th.
I have a motion for approval of the minutes from September 11th. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, moving on to item number 5. I believe we need to, we have some guests here, and I'd like to invite the election office up. Ms. Alexa. I think we just had some very, very small questions, if I remember right. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Not that we don't want to see you, Alexis, but I don't think that we had any questions of the staff. My remembrance is that we received a new budget because the original budget that we were in receipt of and had up on the screen included the board stipends, which we had approved prior to the election office. And so an email was sent down of the new budget, but it didn't come through the appropriate channels. And so we just moved on until we received it. But if you want to, if she has anything to tell us, like what's going on in the office, I'd love to hear it. We're going to be in an election year soon, so I'd like to know what's going on in the office.
Okay. The floor is yours.
I do have one thing, actually, one issue with our budget. The board approved the budget, yes, but they didn't approve the budget in this form. It was later added, not by the board, the $8,000 in income, and we do not think that we will reach that amount of money in this election year. We would be more comfortable budgeting $3,600, which would be 12 Congress members running for office and their filing fees. We don't foresee reaching $8,000 at all because it's not a chief's election year. So I'm not for sure where that number came from, but I was told the treasurer added it in there, and that was not known by the board.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Okay, well, thank you for that information. And then also, I haven't been able to attend an election board in a while, and I normally go to them, but did you all come up with that, or did the board come up with that number just based off of the last two previous elections and the decrease in the number of candidates that run for those offices?
I actually came up with a number. Basically, off the last few elections we've had fewer candidates running for office, and 12 seems like a safe number. I think this is off the top of my head, and I have a really bad memory right now, but I think in one election we only had 15 running for Congress. So we don't want to get to a point where we can't earn that money and then we won't be able to spend the money, even no matter how big or small the number is.
Any further questions?
Quick access.
Can you send that to me by email? Congressman Watts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the $253,317 sufficient to operate your office?
that what you need?
Mr. Encounter?
That's the total amount that would include the $8,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Congressman Walker?
We're looking at the budget, I guess the microwave version of the budget worksheet on the left, and it still has the 8944 for the board members. Is that still what we're working off of? Take that as...
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've not received anything else from the executive branch.
Okay, I'm looking for direction. Congressman Potts. No, Congressman Walker.
Well, I really don't see a reason to keep this budget within this committee. I mean, if we can report that it's been reviewed, possibly with a note that the 8944 needs to be stricken from the section within the appropriation bill, then I don't see any reason to keep this budget or continue reviewing. It's pretty cut and dry.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
I'll go along with that, but it also needs to reflect that the program income of $8,000 isn't at the direction of the election board, and that they either originally sent their budget in with 3,600, or they have come to the conclusion that it needs to be 3,600. Okay, that, so I want the chair, when you go to talk with our budget analyst and talk with appropriations, for you to recognize Alexis's board saying 8,000 is too much. They're not gonna make that. And it's 3,600.
Okay, so noted. Any other questions?
I don't have any. Thanks, Alexis.
Thank you.
Okay, moving right along. Section 39, law enforcement. I think we do have Chief Williams here today. And it seems like we were hung up on maybe two different types of budgets on...
It was vehicle maintenance. Question.
It was moving, yes. One line item to another, I think. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're absolutely correct. Chief Williams, just looking for a little bit of clarification. In the capital asset, it's not capital asset improvement, it's capital improvement fund, I believe. It's a new title. We have $135,000, I believe, for the purchase of new vehicles, but we also purchased vehicles last year. Can you just let us know how many were purchased last year versus how many are in the capital asset budget?
Last year there was five vehicles purchased. This year, the number thrown out there would be three, possibly four, that we're looking at. And that figure will include everything from vehicle itself to all the installation equipment, lights, sirens, all the gear needed in these vehicles.
So, and that was our question, because what we're looking at here is in the rental equipment and maintenance line. We're purchasing all these new vehicles, but we also have $83,600 for vehicle repairs and maintenance.
Correct. That number is in there, and it covers the three items underneath that line item of equipment rental, equipment repairs maintenance, and vehicle repairs and maintenance. We were fortunate this past year with the carryover funds to our federal side that help alleviate some of that spending. But I can't guarantee that's going to happen again. This figure, like I said, is going to cover all three of those aspects underneath that line item. Printing machine, to the repairs of printing machines, fax machines, what have you. Fuel, tires, oil changes, anything of that nature pertaining to the vehicle itself. They're two separate areas on that.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, because I think we were told the other day that that's the $83,600 was the light bars and all of the computer equipment. Okay, so that's all.
That's all under the capital asset side.
Perfect, which is where we thought it needed to be. We're squared away on that one. Thank you very much. And if that is tire rotations and everything else, I'm good to go.
Any further questions from the committee? Congressman Walker.
While you're at the table with us, I mean, we're looking at new employees and increases in salary, new initiatives and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
I would like to at least give Chief Williams an opportunity to express himself on why he believes new officers are needed.
I appreciate the time here with that. I understand I was being summoned yesterday. I couldn't make it. I do apologize. I was in meetings with other law enforcement agencies, and I was asking for their help to come help us because we are low man. 3 years' time, I've gone from 20 officers down to 14, and it takes its toll. I've got officers out right now due to health reasons, officers burning comp time, officers taking leave, officers at training, and I want to apologize to my residents of the villages. There is a big issue going on. Our street thugs know the dilemma we're facing at this moment. Now, will it eradicate that? Possibly not, but it'll help start seizing a lot of that. Just within this week, there was 120 grams of methamphetamine busted right outside the Pawhuska Casino. I relied on the help of agencies from Pawhuska and the Sheriff's Office, and I had one officer of OMPD there with them. One officer can't do it alone. You know, 14 of us can't do it alone, especially with all the health issues, with the leave, with can't go over 80 on our new policy of time. And it makes it very difficult. With the four additional, that'll bring us up to 18, which will help out a lot. It, like I said, it will not solve the problem to the end, but it does help tremendously. I hope that answers your question, sir.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
No one has anything further than I'd like to make a motion to have the minutes reflect that the Government Operations Committee reviewed and approved the following sections 16 and 39.
We have a motion.
For ONCA 1977.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Sorry.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you, Chief Williams.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Later, Gator.
Ma'am.
Oh, tearing up our Same equipment.
That's high dollar stuff. Okay, moving along. Consideration of ONCA 1983, an act to provide an appropriation to the judicial branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2020 in the amount of, and to establish an alternate effective date. So, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a committee sub for the committee to adopt. Are you pulling that up right now? The committee sub. Scroll down. There you go, server. Nope. Yep. Nope, sorry. Clerk. Right?
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Filed legislation.
Would you ladies like to join us at the table while we're
fumbling around trying to find your budget here.
That works.
I have to sit close because I can't see that.
I'm the same way. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this time, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the committee substitute for ONCA 1983.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill inserts the amounts into the legislation to get it right out what was submitted by the judicial branch. Just at the time that I was filing all the bills for session, I didn't have the exact number. We have it. This is the first time the committee's seen it. So adopting the committee sub to place the numbers in.
Thank you, sir. We're going to scroll through the bill, and do we have any questions? Ms. Drent, you have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you. So this only includes tribal revenue, correct? This does not include the federal funds we get through the compact or our grants. Is that correct? Okay.
We have a comparison to last year's.
Yep. We can work on the comp to last year, but I'd prefer we adopt the committee sub so that we have the numbers in there to actually compare, because there's nothing in there right now.
We haven't voted yet.
Okay. Was it seconded?
Yes, I seconded.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the committee sub. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, we're working off the committee sub now. Congresswoman Goodfox.
It's not setting up there yet, but the $155,000 in professional fees, could you just tell us a little bit about what that goes towards?
Okay. So the professional fees line item, it funds 33% of the max research and writing that Supreme Court justices would get, which is capped at $24,000 a year. It funds 100% of the maximum compensation for the trial court judges. It calculates 9 court days per month, which is about where we're at. We're actually averaging closer to 10, but we're going to stick with 9 and just cram hearings closer together if we need to. So that's fully funded. It also, it's 50% of research and writing for the trial court judges. It's 50% of the max compensation for the public defenders and GALs that we pay. And it's only 50% of the expenses so that the trial court judges get paid for their expenses under the law. It does not include my compensation, and it doesn't include the remaining, 67% of research and writing, or the remaining 50% of the other fees. So this only partially funds what the maximum is. But we did actually put in the maximum compensation so that we can conduct our court days as normal and pay the judges for that time.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
I would like to hear just a little bit about how things are going and, looking at your budget, but just about your branch and how, just how it's going and
how it's going.
Yes, and what do you see moving forward, and anything that you're not able to do that you have a wish list of things that you could do? And
our wish list would be that we would like some more consistency in our compensation for our judges. Right now, we treat them as independent contractors, so they get paid per court day, and then they get paid for research and writing that they do outside of court. So it's a system that we inherited when we started this court, so we kind of stuck with it and modified it as needed. The wish list would be that we had more for public defenders and GALs, and I discovered that recently the office that provides Title IV-E funding to states and to tribes, they recently approved FORE funding for attorneys and GALs in dependency cases. So here it's juvenile deprived cases. That's a source of money that we did not have access to before. So one of the things that we're going to try to do throughout the year is figure out how do we get a hold of those Title IV-E funds
and how can we get them and apply them so that would at least offset some of these costs. We try to donate or dedicate our tribal funds to paying the employees and the judges, and then we do operation costs using federal funds. My fees are going to be coming out of any carryover out of federal dollars, which we happen to have because we are still getting notified that we're getting additional funds through prior fiscal years. So we got notified this year of FY17 additional funds that came in. We just found out that FY18 had some additional funds come in. So at any given point in time, the dollars that you see in front of you, those numbers, they'll change, and they'll change day to day. So we're trying to stay on top of it. It takes a little work. It takes some time to get the budget modifications in. So luckily, we have those federal dollars that come in and kind of provide a buffer. So that's what my compensation is coming out of.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
I wanted to answer your question about hearings. So we've calculated, and we're actually averaging closer to 10 hearings a month. That's double what we were when we started back in 2006, 2007. We were budgeting at about 5 hearings per month. It's doubled now. It's only going to go up. With the addition of special domestic violence jurisdiction, it's possible that those days will go up as well. So we might be getting to a point, and I think this is just a much longer conversation that we need to have with Congress. We might be getting to the point where we need to talk about being a court that operates 3 to 4 court days a week and adjusting how we pay judges and how those hearings are run and adjusting the compensation scheme to match that. So and there's lots of models out there on how that works when you have it. The court I work for in Washington, we are 5 days a week. There's another court in Washington that's active, they're 4 days a week. So, and they all have ways that they try to make sure that the employers are compensated, the cases are heard, and whatever needs to happen in those cases, whether it's drug testing and getting reports for parents who are trying to reunify with their children, whether it's costs associated with finding a new home for a child when they can't reunify with the parents. It could be probation costs, so costs of getting somebody EUA'd, you know, however many times a month they need to. If they need to go to domestic violence treatment, that we have a way of doing that. I think part of the problem that we're having right now in the court is the coordination of services. So we actually had a situation where a trial court judge ordered a domestic violence perpetrator to report to the domestic violence program to get an evaluation so that he could get domestic violence perpetrator treatment and was turned away from the program. So there's nowhere for this guy to go. He's supposed to get treatment. He's willing to go get the evaluation so he can get treatment, but he was actually turned away from the program. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. And we had a situation where there was a guardianship, there was some efforts for the parent, or at least one of the parents, to take custody of the children back of the child back. So a report was ordered to study, you know, to do an assessment whether or not the parent was prepared to take custody of the child again. And the request to provide the report was denied because it was a guardianship case. So,
how are y'all handling that?
Well, we have to be really creative. The domestic violence perpetrator treatment, that's part of the reason when I was having conversations with Congressman Potts about our revenue, that's how we try to use it. So we use it to pay a guardian ad litem to generate a report to see whether or not this parent is fit to resume custody of their child. We use it to pay for testing when it's not covered by one of the tribe's programs. The problem is the rules aren't really clear to us, and so when we send somebody over and they get denied, then we try to figure out a way, well then if this guy can't get service by the tribe, what programs are out there that provide domestic violence perpetrator evaluations? How much do those cost? Let's get that taken care of. So ultimately, I think our challenge is coordinating services and trying to figure out the rules. Child support cases, there are some filed here, there are some filed in other places. It's very subjective, kind of discretionary. So they may file in another jurisdiction because they may not like the person that they have to work with, or they don't like the judge that they have to appear in front of. So I think some of that consistency would really be helpful. And same thing with dependency with juvenile deprived cases. We should be full. This is the first tribal court I've dealt with where the dependency docket isn't the largest docket that the court has. And I've got 112 dependent children under me. And that's a huge number for the size of the the service area that I'm working in. But here it's not like that. And again, it's a question of why aren't more things being filed, juvenile deprived cases being filed here? Why aren't we working to get them transferred here? What's the problem there? So that's kind of what we really struggle with. And you know, like I said, we tried really hard to find creative solutions and to find workarounds where needed. But you know, we could really use some assistance in coordinating services and just trying to figure out what the roles are so we don't send somebody to social services and have them come back and say, I got turned down, they're not gonna do it. We want to be able to get whatever it is that's needed, but we just need a way to do that.
Yeah, and I, just to dovetail on Justice Drent, and I've been asking for it for 10 to 12 years, we have got to enter, and there again, it's another stream of revenue that we've got to come up with, but we have to have a juvenile justice system to take care of the adjudicated, because you cannot cross over into social services with the Office of Juvenile Affairs children. So social services hands are tied to be able to help with the adjudicated, and we do not, I know there's a federal stream of revenue out there, but I don't know what the tribal, and of course, this is a conversation for later on down the road, but you know, you mentioned conversation later on down the road for more court services up there. So I think that we should add that into it too. And I appreciate your candor and your information. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief Justice Drent, on the issues with the treatment that you've highlighted today, have those been resolved or are those still outstanding?
That's an excellent question. Have they been resolved? No, they have not.
Yeah, how can we help?
The DV, well, and so that's some of it, is that it could be a funding restriction. Like with I know that child support is almost entirely federally funded. They've got their own service area that they have to serve under their funding agreement. So it could be a funding restriction issue. And if that's the case, what other funding revenues can we bring in so that we can fill in that gap? Or, you know, how much would we need to fill in that gap? So that's why we thought, well, we've got this revenue coming in. It would be a great way to use sort of a gap filler. And the challenge is finding the service provider. You know, we live in a rural area, and so we need to find somebody who can provide the service. We need to be able to make sure that the parent is able to get to where they need to go so that they can have the service performed, or vice versa, have the provider come to them. So I can't say that they've really been resolved. And it's kind of a...
Not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay, and it keeps us from doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. And what we really want to be able to do is to share with you, you know, these are how many families came back together, these are how many children we put into Osage homes. I mean, we want to be able to share that data with you, but you know, we've got some challenges and I think a lot of it is the service providers may have their own funding issues that may prevent them from servicing just Osage children, or it may be specific to a certain area and we're just missing a whole demographic that we haven't had a chance to really sit down and identify.
Okay. Congressman Walker.
Quick question, that doesn't appear the CASA donation is part of this year's budget submission. Was that just a decision you made or?
No, it's never a decision we make. We don't decide if you want to donate to CASA. We let you tell us we plan to donate to CASA. So we never include it. And also given the budget cap that was given to us, we're not gonna deduct $20,000 in our operations for a donation that comes from the nation as an entity. So we wait for you to tell us, yeah, we want to do this, and then it gets added to our budget. I still don't understand why that's the system. I've seen your resolutions donating money to the city of Winona and to other local municipalities and to other organizations, and you do it by resolution, and then the money goes to them. I don't understand why CASA is different. It doesn't change the arrangement that we have with them at all, but the way the money gets to them is just, it's kind of an anomaly.
Congressman Walker and then Congressman Goodfox.
A Okay, yeah, I had forgotten that we actually inserted it by amendment last year, perhaps. I am aware that there has been there's a bill in the works for just an appropriation, a tribal appropriation, so it doesn't matter to me how it gets appropriated, so that's all I need to hear about that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm fine with it being a standalone. I think that when we donate to cities, I can't remember the wording that someone used. Because at one point we have a donations, we have a law for donations that goes to the Osage Nation Foundation. But we, for government to government, we have done standalone. But with CASA, it's not government, but I'm fine with it being standalone too.
Yes, CASA is kind of a standalone program.
Yeah, because it's not part of any government agency here.
They're non-biased.
Yeah, but they're their own organization, and they're part of a much larger national CASA movement, and the work that they do, I will say, is very important. And I do know that they service a number of Osage children. I'm going to note, though, that we only have two CASAs in our court. Well, we have two cases where CASA has been appointed for each child. That's it. So, the cases that they're citing, they are either in Osage County or Pawnee. I mean, just to kind of clarify, they're not all in our court. They service not just tribal courts, but they also service county courts. So that's just something else to keep in mind.
Sort of original.
Yeah, exactly.
Any further question? Congresswoman Goodfox?
Make a motion to report out ONCA 1983 to Congress with a due pass.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
So, as a committee substitute.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on a committee substitute. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Ms. Grant.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item number 7, a consideration of ONCA 1984, an act to authorize and appropriate $830,701 to the matching grant fund for the listed grants and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts, you're the sponsor. Turn the table over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You can just pull up ONCA 1984. The sections are consistent with what the executive branch submitted for the request to appropriation to the matching grant fund.
Grants.
Congressman Walker.
So this may be more appropriately directed at the sponsor, but he's having a conversation right now in the lobby. Perhaps the budget analyst could answer. Does this amount represent only identified matching grant funds, or is there any additional in case any come during the year?
I believe this is going to be just, he's added the other, all the budgets, their full budgets in there, but I believe it's just going to be just what they've requested. Child support's just requested 191.
Can I restate?
Yes.
Congressman Potts, my question is, does this amount represent, I know there's some administrative cost in there, but does this amount represent only the existing matching grants that are currently being requested at this time, or is there any additional to cover any unexpected grants that may arise during the fiscal year? Pardon me?
Congressman Potts.
I don't believe there are any additional funds for matching grant at this time. So all this appropriation bill does is appropriate the funds, the tribal dollars, for the matching grants that have already been applied for or are anticipated to be awarded. There was no submission for a pool or a pocket of an appropriation to the matching grant fund for future contracts or grants.
Congressman Walker.
Did it cross your mind, or did you consider maybe adding additional revenue? Because we've been brought into special session for matching grant funds, and sometimes the costs are not very much, but it's a very, it could be a very important grant to the nation.
Totally understand. It is something that we discussed. This came up in the questioning for ONCA 1957, I believe. So that amount most certainly can be input if that's the will of the committee. Happy to work on an amendment if we want to move in that direction.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
I would support that, and I think that it's smart to give them a few extra dollars here to anticipate other grants that may not have been awarded yet, or that they may not even know that they're going to right now foresee going after. I would support that.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any ideas on an amount?
Idea of what we've, I mean, we have come in for several special sessions for $6,000 and $23,000. So,
you know,
Congressman Walker.
Chairman, you know, that's a kind of putting you on the spot type of answer. I mean, here we are throwing around big numbers, right? I was thinking 50,000, no more than 100, at least 25. That's where I said I would could be persuaded up to 100, but no less than 25.
More pro 25.
Me too.
Just because we're over projected revenue right now. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Congressman Walker.
Okay. Yeah. Just since we're kind of having a little bit of open dialogue around the table, we can, I think a $25,000 amendment would be appropriate, and might even consider a floor amendment by the time we get there. We could actually kind of let this one kind of linger just a little bit until we get towards the end of session and see what the appropriations look like. Or not.
I feel more comfortable that way.
Okay. But But yeah, it's not uncommon to be called in for a $6,000 or $8,000 match. 20, 25. Congressman Potts, are you drafting an amendment or?
Yes.
Okay. If not, give me the sheet.
Congressman Potts.
Make an amendment. Page 8, line 360, insert a new section. The Osage Nation Congress hereby authorizes and appropriates the sum of $25,000 to the matching grant fund out of the general fund of the Treasury for matching grants not clearly delineated or established in this act. Insert a budget table with tribal revenue at $25,000 and other at $25,000 and adjust totals accordingly.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, back on the bill. Congresswoman Walker and then Congresswoman Goodfox.
I think she was going to move it. That's what I went into.
Okay, Congresswoman Goodfox.
Motion to report out. ONCA 1984 to Congress with the due pass as amended.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, moving on. Consideration of ONCA 1963. This is Speaker Tillman's piece of legislation, an act to amend 26 ONC subsection 14, 105 of the Osage Nation Permanent Fund Act to authorize utilization of funds by appropriation for government operations and government services during a financial emergency and to establish an alternate effective date. Speaker Tillman asked me to postpone this until to the call of the chair. So without objection, I'm going to do that and move on to consideration of ONCA 1978.
Motion for a brief recess.
Second.
I have a motion for a brief recess and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're recessed. 5 minutes.